Are you saying to me that Yakubu, at just 33 years of age, is done?
I think you won't see him. He'll be abroad again, earning a few quid.
Outrage.
I don't see him playing.
He's coming into his prime.
Is he? Yeah, he's at the top of his game now. What's he, 50? I'm 33, sorry.
Top of his eating game. Hello and welcome to the Tile SM Podcast, your weekly look at all things Reading Football Club by the fans, for the fans. This is our 59th episode, being recorded on August the 6th, 2015, and today we'll be looking back on a pre-season of mixed fortunes for Reading Football Club, a couple of transfer rumours, and most importantly, how we think we'll get on this season, including looking ahead to that first championship game of the season at Birmingham. All that, plus plenty more, including a few thoughts on an interesting new away strip. My name is Dan Wimbush. I'm the editor of thetilesn.com and I'm delighted to be joined by Mr. Alan West. His name is Westy. Westy, hello.
Hi, Wim. How are you today?
Not bad. The sun is shining. The Aussies got bowled out for 60.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And football's back in 2 days. Cannot complain.
Yeah, thank God for that. And just the two of us, we can make it if we try.
Yeah, you know, one episode in, you know, summer budget cuts and whatnot, got to cut the cloth.
But Theo, you know, still got people on the injury list already.
Yeah, indeed. Johnny Williams can't make it, work commitments. That's going to rule him out of a fair few podcasts this year. He's changed jobs over the summer. So as I said last week, we're going to have a rotating cast this year.
There's the good news anyway.
Yeah, but we're having to record this in the afternoon due to my own working commitments. So we're recording this about 4 o'clock on Thursday. So if transfer news and whatnot happens later in the evening, that is why we're not covering it. But without further ado, let's get on to the news in News Bites.
Reading News Bites on the Tilehurst End Podcast.
Right, welcome back to News Bites. As I said, Westy, a couple of weeks since we last talked. You know, we had a week off after, you know, only having 5 or 6 weeks off before. Got to ease ourselves back into the new season.
Yeah, no rush.
No rush at all. Three pre-season friendlies happened since we last recorded. First of all, we went to Wickham to play Swansea, drawing 1-1 in the pouring rain. Nick Blackman scoring a screamer, as he always does against Swansea.
What a goal that was as well.
Yeah.
What saves a strike.
Saves it every year for Swansea.
He does. He likes playing Swansea, doesn't he?
He does. And following from that, went to Crawley, and after drawing with the Premier League side, there's nothing like getting beaten 1-0 by a side that's just been relegated to League Two.
Yeah, we're not scoring too freely again, are we? That was a worrying thing, I think, from the last three pre-season friendlies.
No, well, Orlando Sarr made his debut in that Crawley defeat. Didn't do a lot, but didn't do terribly either.
No, I think the thing is, he's not played a lot, has he? He's not fit, and he's probably only just moved over. I don't hold too much weight in pre-season friendlies, but just to get a fitness. Shouldn't worry about too much.
Exactly. The only notable thing from that friendly, other than Sarr's debut, was Ali Alhabsi having a bit of a howler for the goal. Don't know if you've seen it.
An Alhabsi mistake. I think we did mention last week. Yeah. He does have the odd 1 in 10, doesn't he?
He does. Hopefully got that out of the way.
Yeah.
A shot from 25 yards. Swerved a little bit. As I said, the weather wasn't the best at Crawley either. And kind of went through his hands, really. Should have had it. But I said, get those out of the way in pre-season.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be the last one you see, though.
No. Well, there is a reason he's dropped down to the Championship, not playing the Premier League anymore.
Yep.
So that's what you have to put up with. And I said on a free transfer as well. And we rounded off the pre-season with a glamour tie. A bit of a feisty game against Spanish opposition, Westy. 0-0 draw with Espanyol. So no goals to talk about. But, you know, a red card in a friendly game.
Yeah, and a 22-man brawl.
Yeah.
It was all going off, wasn't it? I think the good job it did happen, because otherwise the entertainment was pretty low.
Yeah, not the best. Jordan Obita starting said brawl for a really nasty tackle. And again, I hope he's getting that out of his locker earlier. I remember him getting sent off while he was on loan for Portsmouth. He did something quite petulant as well, lashed out at someone. I think he's got a little bit of that in him, a little bit
of
fight.
He's had a few throw the ball aways and a little bit of petulance. But yeah, again, let's hope he's got out of his system before the season starts. We don't want to see players going off for join league games.
Yeah, the good news is that he won't be suspended. He won't miss any league games for that. So again, good to get that aggression out in pre-season. But I suppose the nice thing looking back on all those friendlies, and you can take in the ones before the wins at Bristol Rovers and a narrow defeat to Tottenham as well, is that we're not conceding a lot of goals, which is a good thing. I know we're not scoring a lot, but we do seem a lot tighter under Steve Clarke.
Yeah, well, I think he had the same sort of effect when he first came in. We were quite tight, but we weren't scoring. And then we opened up a little bit and started conceding goals. So I don't know if you, again, I don't read too much into preseason friendlies, but it's good that we're keeping clean sheets. But again, the worry is that we're not scoring enough, which is what happened last year.
Yeah, and he's been without a number of key attacking players. As much as I hate to call him a key attacking player, Hal Robson-Kanu's been injured. Pavel Pogrebniak's been dealing with an injury issue that we'll come on to in a minute. Gareth McCleary was obviously away with a Gold Cup with Jamaica. And Orlando Sarr's only just coming back to fitness. Dominic Samuel as well had a big injury over the summer. So he's been trying to get a lot of younger players and injured players up to speed in a short period of time. So maybe that explains the lack of goal scoring action.
Yeah, you'd hope so. And not at any point has he played a side that I think will probably start every week. I think he's sort of mixed and matched. And again, against Birmingham, we'll see what we've got up front, really. But yeah, I suppose the only concern is we're not scoring. But again, we're keeping clean sheets. So we'll see. We need to score goals, and that's what set us apart last year, and that's what made us struggle. We weren't scoring enough.
Yeah, well, but some bad news coming out of pre-season, as I mentioned. Pavel Pogrebniak has picked up an injury. Now, there's conflicting reports as to how serious this is. On the one hand, Pavel gave an interview to a Russian website, I believe, where he sort of suggested they'd be fit in 1 to 2 weeks. Steve Clark has said it's a bit more serious than that, and it's been a problem that they've been dealing with for a long time. That doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence, Westy. Pog looks like the kind of player that would try and play through it, but it's never good to be carrying a knock into the season, as we found out last year.
No, and again, Pogrebniak, he does get kicked around a lot, and to be fair, he's made a quite stern stuff in general, so if he does go off injured, you know that it's an injury, a proper one. So, yeah, hopefully it's not too much trouble, but Pog never looks like he's free-flowing anyhow, does he? He always seems like he's lumbering to a certain extent, so we'll see. But again, hopefully he'll get back pretty soon because, like we said earlier, Sarr's not up to speed at the moment.
No, well, Pog never gets into form until the transfer window shuts anyway, does he?
Yeah, then he has like a good January and that's about it. Yeah, that's
exactly
when he scores his goals.
Well, hopefully he returns to fitness soon. I said, especially with Sarr's injury concern, the bigger blow for me is news that Gareth McCleary will be out until September with a calf strain.
Again, you know what I mean? Again, McCleary.
I did worry that with all the football he played in the summer for Jamaica, so they had two tournaments, so they got to the final of the Gold Cup, plus they're playing the Copa America and some warm-up games as well. It's a lot of action for a player that had only really come into fitness towards the last few weeks of the season anyway.
Yeah, the thing is, knowing McCleary, I bet he played with his calf strain for quite some time before he's finally broke down.
Would he played for 3 months with a broken back, didn't
he? This is what I'm saying. I think he would want to play in those games for Jamaica, and why wouldn't you? And I think he probably was carrying it for a little while, and now he's sort of thought, well, I need to get this sorted out before I start playing again, so again, he keeps getting knocks, McCleary, but that happens with players that got pace. They do tend to get these sort of injuries.
Yeah, Jimmy Cabrera obviously was out a lot as well. See, he's still technically a free agent. He had a proposed move to, I want to say Malaga, but that broke down. So, I think still it's, out there.
It's an attitude thing for Mr.
Cabrera. In all seriousness, would you take a punt on Cabrera? Would you get him in for a trial?
No, I don't think so. I think those days have gone. I think Cabrera's attitude was always was a little suspect. And I think when I went to see McDermott, and he was saying somewhat similar, that you have to really know how to manage Jimmy Kebbo before you get the best out of him. And I don't think Steve Clark will spend the time or the money bothering.
No, I'd still like to get him in for a week, see if he's got any passion left. I suspect the answer's no, but could do worse.
No, could do worse.
But yeah, so those are the injury blows. There's a few other injury lines as well coming out of Steve Clark's press conference today, but we will catch up with all of those with Charles Watts on the podcast Extra. If you haven't listened to that show before, it's basically myself and Charles who reports on Reading for Get Reading, and we bring you right up to date with all the latest news lines in about 20 minutes. So if you can't put up with us rambling on for an hour, it's your bite-sized chunk.
Just before the match as well. Just before the big day.
Yeah, we get all the very latest lines. So that podcast will probably be out tomorrow as you listen to this as well. So stay tuned for that. I said we'll get a full fitness check ahead of that Birmingham game. But moving on to other news. Reading did make a signing this week, Westy.
Mm.
Looked like we said last week maybe they could do with a left back. And they went out and got one. They picked up Andrew Taylor, former England under-21 international. They signed him on loan from Wigan. He spent 7 years of his career at Borough, moved on to Cardiff, helped them win promotion to the Premier League, and then moved into Wigan last season. Vastly experienced. He's played more than 250 games. Doesn't score a lot of goals, so don't expect him to chip in that. But I said, you know, we said if Jordan Obita goes down, there's no real senior experience. You can't ask for better than that, than a man who's won promotion from the Championship, played in the Premier League, played at a semi-decent international level as well.
I think we mentioned last week, we was on about Chris Armstrong type players, steady Eddie type footballers, and this fits the bill as far as I'm concerned. At 29, you know what I mean, he's still got plenty of football left in him. He knows the league. He's been up into the Premier League. He's a good player, and he's steady Eddie, and he's the sort of player you need to fill in for you. if he can push on. I mean, it's good that it push a beater to play better, because we mentioned last year that it probably wasn't his best year since he's been in the side. So, again, great signing, I think.
Yeah, and it's good, because as you mentioned, it's good to push a beater, because this is genuinely a competition. This isn't Euro Travner that's, let's be honest, that he's never going to get a sustained run in the side. But
this is a player up to speed and knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and Clark can look at this guy and say, genuinely, well, if he does well, maybe we'll buy him. And so that gives every incentive for Jordan to push on. But not just that, it gives Clark other options, because Clark can now slot in Taylor. You might say to a beater, go on then, play on the left wing, especially with McCleary being out injured.
Yeah,
you might say, play on the left, or, you know, he played in the centre a few times under Nigel Atkins. He himself, Jordan, has said that he wants to play in the centre. So again, it frees up lots of options. The more options you have as a manager, the better.
Yeah, the easier it is for you to manage.
Yeah, one man went out as well yesterday, Craig Tanner. He was a highly thought of prospect at the start of last season, Wesley. Don't know if you remember him coming on and scoring against Newport within seconds.
He's quick, Tanner.
Yeah, very quick. He was just looking like he was going to get a real run under Nigel Atkins, then picked up an injury. And by the time he came back in January, he went off to AFC Wimbledon, played 19 times them, didn't score. He did think he thought he got on the score sheet, and then it was the dubious goals panel gave it away to an own goal.
Not them.
But that was, slightly worrying. Obviously, you know, you don't necessarily have a great loan spell when you're young, but 19 games, no goals, not entirely encouraging. And I think his stock has fallen a little bit. He did get a long-term contract within the last year, but I think he's got a point to prove. And he's gone out to Plymouth, where he'll spend at least the first 6 months of the season. And I think this is a good opportunity for him, Westy.
Yeah, I think it is. He is quick. He looked a little light last time I see him, but he can work on that in the lower leagues. And I think at Plymouth, that's a good club to go to. And hopefully he does do well there, because I think he's got a lot of potential. He just needs to bulk up and sort of play games. And that's what he'll get at Plymouth. And he won't get it here. So you might as well drop down and have a good spell down there and come back a better player.
Yeah, he's dropped behind the likes of Tarek Fosu and Jack Stacey at this level. So again, going out and getting regular games to do wonders. Look what happened to the likes of Michael Hector. Obviously, other successful loan spells. You look at the Gilfies of this world, Alex Pearce, Jem Karachan. They all went out and spent time alone.
I mean, let's face it, it's only recently Dominic Samuel's come back and have an half a chance of getting a game. So sometimes it can take a little while, and players sort of develop at their own in their own time.
And we've said this. I remember us saying exactly this around this time last season about some of these younger players. They do need to go out and get this time on.
I mean, Shane Long was another one. He'd come back. Well, he didn't even go out alone. He didn't play a lot, did he? And then all of a sudden, he sort of flourished. So it could happen to Tanner. I hope it does.
Yeah. A few more rumoured ins and outs. The rumours on the inside of things. Paolo Hurtado, who's a Peruvian winger.
He's a player as well. Have you checked him out?
I've seen the YouTube stuff, but I'm highly
skeptical. Yeah, just on that. Yeah, I know. But I sat and watched a couple of games as well recently, and he does look like a proper winger, or even centre forward. He's good in the air, quick, skillful. I think it'd be an excellent sign if they can get him.
Well, it's something a bit different, which is what we need. That rumour's sort of on the fringes. Another one on the fringes is Robert Berić, Rapid Vienna striker. Again, I think his own form for his team at the moment, they've just been battling in the Champions League as of recently. I think that might have just priced him out of Reading.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see him down here.
So that runs on the fringe. But one person that does look like he will be coming to the Medici Stadium is Alex Fernandez from Espanyol. Wonder if it's coincidence or whether Clark's going back to the Brian McDermott school of, we've just played them, let's sign this guy.
He was good, let's pick him, yeah.
Yeah, used to play for Real Madrid. Apparently he's a midfielder, can play across the midfield. He has been for a medical today, that is according to Charles in Get Reading. So this one looks like it could be a goer.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty much definite. I don't know a lot about him to comment, but he's young. He's got good stock, and hopefully he can come in and do a job for us.
Yep, looks like it's going to be a loan with a view to buy, which is always a great arrangement as far as I'm concerned, because, as I said, either he flops on loan, you say, no, thank you, or you've got a deal in place, you can just pull the trigger.
Yeah, I mean, he's played quite high up in the Spanish league. He's probably technically very good. Their players always are, so sort of play, maybe perfect replacement for Chalobah in many ways.
Yeah. We'll see how that one progresses. I said I'll get a full update from Charles tomorrow. The only other bit of news I wanted to bring up, Westy, as I teased earlier, was African. If I said African violet to you before Tuesday, would you know what colour it was?
No, but I did think last week when we mentioned flamingos, it's like we stumbled across something there, wasn't it?
We did. We hinted about this pink kit.
Yeah.
Sure enough, on Tuesday, as part of Sky Sports News' 92 Live, it is revealed Reading have got a very exciting African violet coloured away shirt. If you've not seen this by now, you can go over to talesn.com and check it out. You might want to have a lie down afterwards.
Yeah, what was your first thought, Swim?
Bluntly honest, I thought this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I thought it looked pretty shocking as well.
I thought, how on earth have they done that? The more I've seen it, I don't like it, but I hate it less. Yeah. I've gone from thinking this is a 1 out of 10 kit to about a 3 out of 10 kit.
The thing is, though, if they're away from home, they're wearing that kit. There is no excuse for misplacing passes, is there? You should be able to see your players from space. You know what I mean?
Not going
to
pull the Fergie excuse.
No, no chance. So, yeah, they shouldn't be able to miss each other, that's for certain. But, no, it's not the best.
Look, it's different.
I won't be rushing out to buy it.
And, you know, call me cynical, but I don't suppose you happen to know what the colour of Thai Airways is.
Isn't it very similar, is it?
Well, funnily enough, it is.
Oh,
if
no.
you go onto the Thai Airways website and try and book a plane ticket, you will find a very noticeable African violet colour.
Ah, there's the link then.
But yeah, I mean, we can't complain. I remember a few years ago, didn't we? We had a white and green kit, I think the same year that Waitrose.
Well, the good thing is, at least they haven't come in and tried to change the home kit's colour like they did at Cardiff. And then have to change it back embarrassingly.
Very, very true. And again, look, nobody has to wear it other than the players. If you don't like it, don't buy it.
No. Some will.
Some will. I think the home kit's decent. I think I've now reached the age where I think I've given up on replica kits.
Yeah, I reached that age as well about 10 years ago.
Yeah, I turned 30 this season, so time to hang it up.
I do get the odd one now and again, but it's...
I'd like a retro one.
Yeah, yeah?
I'd like a decent retro. I like them to bring out the 94-95 one in retro. The old Auto Trader, Pelada.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. There's a few in there. They had the old Simo Cup ones in there for a while.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them recently, but yeah. Do come back now and again.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll bring out the 05-06 to mark that season.
Yeah, they might. I can remember the first kit I ever had. It was the striped down, not hoops, and it was 210 FM long sleeve from about 83, I think. It was probably a hand-me-down, but I still love it.
Yeah, I got the 94-95 kit was my first, and my mum went to buy it. She was walking into the old Elm Park club shop. I don't know if those of you who might remember it. It was just a little cubby hole. On
yeah.
the Norfolk Road
yeah,
stand.
It was, yeah, yeah.
Wasn't so much of a club shop. It was a counter and there was some stuff behind
like
it.
Like a shed, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. And she was walking in and she saw this man outside. She said, oh, excuse me, I'm trying to find a club shop to buy the kit for my son. I just think you could help. And he was like, oh, yeah, yeah, sure. Guided her in and said, I'd like you to help this woman buy her son a kit. Turned out that man was Sir John Medeski.
Oh, he was selling kits then, was he?
Yeah.
Kits, cars.
Kits and cars,
anything
everything.
You can get your hands on, basically.
Indeed. So, yeah, you go. There's my rather pointless story. But nice all the same. But that, and anyway, that just about rounds up News Bites. We'll move on now to Pub Chat, where we'll give our in-depth thoughts ahead of the new season.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Right, welcome back to Pub Chat. So, Westy, the transfer window is open for a few more weeks, but we've got a pretty good idea now of the strength of the Reading side. Before we look position by position, just overall, how are you feeling about the squad at the moment?
I'm not inspired by it particularly. I would say it's better than last year's, but it looks to me like he's brought in a lot of workman-like players, you know. We needed to address the goals. I think we look better in the air, for certain, because we didn't score a lot of goals. Traditionally, we scored a lot of goals from corners and crosses, and last year we struggled quite badly to score headed goals. So I think Sarr's decent in the air, so that's certainly going to help. And the centre-backs look strong in the air as well, all three of them, if they're all fit. So they look better in the air, but I think it looks like a steady sort of side, really.
Yeah, you mentioned that you think the squad's stronger. Ollie Allen tweeted us in saying, are the replacements in each position for goalkeeper, centre-back and central midfielder better than who we had last season? So basically, have they replaced Federici, Alex Pearce and Jem Carrichan well enough?
Again, goalkeeper-wise, I think it's much of a muchness. I think all three of them goalkeepers, they're all decent championship goalkeepers. I've said about Federici before. I think they're all on a level. Federici's a good shot stopper, good kicker, but he made the odd mistake. Al Habsi, poor kicker, makes the odd mistake, but he's been a decent goalkeeper. And the young lad, we don't know a great deal about him, but he has played for Watford quite a few times.
England,
and represented
as well.
England, yeah. So I think they're all much of a muchness. I don't think there's any one that you could say is definitely better than the other. As for the centre-backs, if Ferdinand stays fit, I think they've got a good centre-back there.
McShane
is very steady, and again, he's played most of his league career either at the top of the Championship or at the bottom of the Premier League. So we know that I think he's better than Pearce as a player, definitely. I think the young lad who's going to come in on the wing, Fosu, I think he'll be a decent player. So I think they've improved. Same as Chalobah. If Fernandez comes in, I think, like I said earlier, I think that's the replacement. And again, he's slightly more experienced in many ways. So better. Quinn, very steady footballer, good at this level. And I think he's brought in a lot of experience to help the youngsters along, whereas probably last year they didn't have that so much.
Yeah, I think Quinn is... If you told me we had Jem Carrichan from 2013, I'd say they've got weaker, but I don't know what Jem Carrichan's got.
No.
So in that, getting Stephen Quinn and Hull fans, if you go back and read, if you search View from the Town End on McShane and Quinn, the whole fan we spoke to, Les Motherby, he was gutted to lose those two players.
Yeah.
He was saying they were two of the steadiest, most dedicated players. And that's what Reading need, because we spoke a lot last season about lack of leaders and stuff on the pitch. These are two players you can't accuse of going missing in a fight.
Like I said, a lot of steady eddies have come in, you know, sort of your 7 out of 10s every game. And you need them sort of players. They can't be poo-pooed, really, because if you can get 4 or 5 players that steadily put out decent performances, and we've got a few sort of, not superstars, but players that can turn it on now and again, I think it's got a much better look about it. Is it going to pull up trees? No. But is it going to be more competitive? I reckon yes.
Yeah, I'd agree. And obviously the younger players as well, all getting a year older, games
more experience,
their belt.
Yeah. And there's more to come from as well. The players like Hector, even a beater, Fosu spoke about, McCleary, I didn't think he had a particularly decent year last year.
Cool.
Yeah. There's plenty more to come from them players. And I think with players that have been in the Championship, done it, and played in the Premier League to the level they have, and being a decent age still, sort of 27, 28, 29 sort of ages, I think it's certainly an improvement from the players that we had last year, because I don't think, like you said, they had any leaders. And I think when times were hard, there wasn't many people stood up. But these players have known it and done it, and you've seen them do it before. So,
yeah. Well, let's go through the team then. Let's go through position by position. There's full in-depth position previews, again, up on thetilelesson.com. Go check those out. We'll go through them briefly here. Starting with the keepers then. Touched on this last week, but given the way the pre-season's panned out, who's favourite for you? Who would you start up at Birmingham, Alhabsi or Bond?
Well, I think I said Bond last week, and I'm going to probably stick with that one. Like I said, Alhabsi, good goalkeeper, great shot stopper at times. He does make the odd mistake, and I think that Bond, if you're going to build a side, put him in and give him the opportunity to have 10 years at the club.
Yeah, I've almost gone over to the Bond side. I think he's been steady, and I just think maybe you just do build around him. But at the end of the day, I think right now they're much of a muchness, and I think if you put a gun to my head and said pick one, I might just go Alhabsi.
Yeah.
Just for the experience to start the season, and just while if there are a lot of young players around, you do want that experience. And then, as I said, the thing is, you don't want to start Bond and then drop him, because that does his confidence in. If you start Alhabsi and then drop him, he's been around the block, he knows how to deal with it a bit better.
I'd be interested in what they've been told, actually, both goalkeepers. I think they've been told that the place is up for grabs, and it's not anyone's in particular.
Yeah.
Again, they both come here probably looking to be number one. So, it's a good for Reading, because it's a good... Like, we didn't have it last year. We didn't have anyone taking that position off Federici. And this year, looks like it could be anyone. So, it's up to them, and it's good to have competition.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see who starts up at St Andrews. The defence... lot more settled in terms of the full-backs anyway. I think we can both agree that Chris Gunter and Jordan Abita will start there. Also, Andrew Taylor coming in does add a little bit of competition to it, but can't see him beating out Abita unless Clark has got other tactical plans for him.
No, unless he's going to move him further forward, like you said. No, not me neither. Not at the moment, but not to say that might happen, because like I said, Abita didn't have a great year last year.
And Gunter's basically, well, he's not untouchable, but there's nobody close, is there?
No, he's nailed on.
Kelly's gone, Cummings is gone.
Yeah. He's nailed on for right back, definitely. Yeah.
In the centre then, a little bit more competition. Obviously, we mentioned Anton Ferdinand seems to be back to full fitness. I don't think I'm going to sit here and expect him to put in 46 games.
No.
Michael Hector, you know, we've spoken a lot about him, high hopes. Paul McShane as well, steady Eddie. Jake Cooper looks to be, at the moment, the odd one out as the least experienced. Perhaps said last year was a little bit too early for him, although he didn't disgrace himself by any stretch. But
no, I thought he had some very good games.
No.
And it definitely was a goal threat, which we didn't have from the others. But yeah, he certainly looks like he's going to be fourth choice at the moment. But with Anton Ferdinand's fitness, it won't be long before he's sat on the bench, I don't think.
Yeah, just quickly, Stuart Fenton says, should Cooper be loaned out, or is he ready to compete first team match when fit?
No, I think he's ready to compete. I don't
reckon. Yeah, should keep him here?
I would keep him here, definitely, because, like I said, you've only got 3 centre-backs there. One of them gets injured, you're going to need to call him back.
I would send him out on a short... I wouldn't say you're there for the season, but I would do one of these...
Maybe a month.
What they call emergency loans. Try and get him somewhere for 2-3 months with a recall clause, because otherwise, I think those three easily be able to cover, because you only really want one centre-back on the bench. And you don't want to stall Cooper's development.
No, there is that, and I think you're probably playing the League Cup anyway, I would have thought.
Yeah. So who's the two then out of the 3 experienced ones?
It's difficult, isn't it? I think he'll start McShane and Anton Ferdinand, just because Hector's had a long summer. But you would have to say that potential wise, Hector looks like he's going to be a really good centre back. So it'd be one and him. I think long term.
I think for, to start with, I'm going to say Hector and Ferdinand.
Yeah.
As a combo.
I don't think anyone can sit here and argue. I think any one of them three, they're all good players. I wouldn't be worried about either of them starting or any of them starting.
No. Do you reckon he might be tempted to move Hector maybe into midfield? He played a bit there for Aberdeen. He started last season, remember, at the Wigan game. Adkins played him just in front of the...
Maybe if you're playing five in midfield, there's no reason not to. If you're playing three centre midfielders, you could play him in there. I don't see why you wouldn't. Maybe we'll do that for the first away game. But well, yeah, anyone of the three is good players.
Well, he can't displace the new Claude Makélélé, Hope Akpan.
Yeah, no, I think that it should be too difficult to displace him.
The greatest holding midfielder.
Yeah, we never wanted.
So, okay, fair enough. Moving further forward then. On the wings, it's a little bit fluid, as mentioned, with McCleary's injury. You've got some of the usual suspects in Blackman, Robson Kanu, and then a lot of youngsters, really, in terms of Stacey, Fosu.
I think you'd be upset if you was Blackman if you didn't start against Birmingham. You should be, shouldn't you?
Well, with
McCleary
out.
I think Blackman, yeah, he'd probably play right wing first game of season. Attacking right midfield or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, Robson Kanu's been struggling with injury as well.
I think Fosu will start as well. I don't think there's...
Again, apparently he's got a niggle as well.
Okay, well, maybe then they put Quinn on the left, like he has done in pre-season.
Yeah. It's fluid. I think those positions are up for grabs, and you can tell by the fact that they are being constantly linked with these wingers that Clark's obviously determined to get one.
Yeah, he knows he needs one, definitely.
Yeah, you can't go... you can't go through a season with Blackman as your first-choice winger.
Well, or McCleary, because he doesn't play a whole season. You know, and Fosu's really young, so... And Robson Kanu clearly didn't do it last year. So he definitely needs a winger. We know he's looking for one, and the one he's looking for looks pretty decent, so hopefully they get him. But for the first game of the season, I think he'll play Quinn probably left and then Blackman on the right.
What about in the centre then? Danny Williams obviously seems pretty nailed on for one of the slots. Quinn would probably take another unless he's moved out wide. That leaves the likes of Norwood, Akpan. I said you might go a bit further afield. You might bring a Tishbowler in.
Yeah, you might be right with a Hector idea, but again, do you want to stick him in midfield after he's played all summer? I mean, he's young enough to be able to... I don't worry too much about these sort of things. I think at the age he is, he should be able to run all day. But maybe he'll play him as a holding midfield and play Williams and Norwood.
I've got really high hopes for Danny Williams this season.
Yeah, I like Danny Williams. He's the sort of player that you could have as your captain, and he does try and drive him. He lacks a bit of quality in front of goal, but in general, he does give you 100%.
Ben Nicholson raises an interesting point, though, for me. He says, has our obsession with signing a goal scorer distracted from our desperate need for a creative midfielder? And I think he's got a point, because I still don't see that, you know, that player that's capable of playing the killer ball through and the guile.
Yeah, no, you'd have to agree with that. We haven't got that sort of player. Maybe Fernandez coming in, who knows?
Could well do. I know it's Danny Guthrie signed for Blackburn this week.
Yeah, and he played about 3 weeks and then you won't see him no more.
It's until he's another contract.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I hopefully Fernandes can do it, because you just do need something different. Although, you sound like those players, you know, you have to probably go back to maybe Osborne, Caskey to a certain extent.
Yeah, Caskey's
to see one of those midfielders that's really worked in a Reading system.
Yeah, I mean, with Sidwell and Harper, we didn't have a killer ball, did we? We had a player that would score goals and two players that run all day, basically.
Players like Brian Howard, Matiowski, Danny Guthrie.
Because it never really works out for us, doesn't it? Yeah, so no, do you need one? I don't think you do need one, but you certainly need people to put the ball in there, and it would help. But again, sometimes them sort of players, you said Caskey for one, I mean, he scored a lot of goals, he created a lot of goals. But if he was playing two in midfield, you had to carry him to a certain extent because he couldn't tackle and he couldn't run.
No. That's all right. I'm obviously forgetting Gylfi Sigurdsson, who was a fantastic attacking creative midfielder.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see what pans out. I said, let's see what Fernandes brings.
Yeah, let's see.
Bit of flair.
Again, we don't know a lot about him, and maybe he is that sort of player.
Yep. Moving then to the strikers. There's an area that Steve Clark was hammering home at the end of last season, saying he needed at least two strikers. He's technically signed two, because he signed Orlando Saar and Billericay's finest.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Libbard.
The big one.
But realistically, he's only got Saar and a Saar that's not fully fit. Pavel Programniak's still there. Simon Cox still there. Dom Samuel obviously has come back from loan as well.
Yeah.
But it still looks light to me, Westy.
It does still look like to me. Is Sam going to come in and score goals in the Championship? I think we'll hope so. He'd certainly done well with the league below. But that doesn't always transmit into the Championship, does it? We've seen this many a time. Cox, again, he's season fell apart after Christmas.
Yeah, Terry Tibbs says, what's happened to Cox? Feel like he's barely featured. Well, he did have a knock that caused him to miss the Thailand tour. But
yeah, and I think Clark's not his biggest fan.
He shipped him out once already.
But what we've seen, he's not his biggest fan. Saar and Pogrebnev look a similar sort of player, although Saar looks slightly more mobile. It's a slight worry. I think from last year, if we watched the end of that Derby game, it was pace that give teams problems. And if you look up front at the minute, we don't seem to have too much of it again.
I just want that. Just want that player with pace.
Yeah, the
just
quick ball
something
over the
exciting.
Top.
Yeah. I noticed that Naki Wells seems to be falling down the pecking order at Huddersfield. If you read our fans' preview that we just put up today, the Huddersfield fan we spoke to really doesn't sing his praises. Seems to suggest he'll be off.
Yeah.
Shortly. Which is funny because I thought when he's played against Reading, he's looked great.
Yeah,
maybe he's just one of these players that plays great against Reading. Nobody
like,
else.
Like Blackman plays well against Swansea. We discussed that.
Yeah. Maybe they'll buy him off the back of that. Swansea.
Yeah, maybe.
And they were linked with Robson Kanu, but Charles seemed to think when I spoke to him on last week's podcast, actually, that was an absolute load of baloney.
Yeah, I said that at the time. I thought that was his brother, his agent, trying to orchestrate a move for
him. He's got people talking about him, so I suppose he's doing his job in one regard.
I don't see why.
So we agree there's positions that still need strengthening then. Out of all those, what's your biggest priority area at the moment? Is it striker?
It's goals, yeah. It's scoring goals. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a striker, but they certainly need a goal threat. I know we always say you don't need a 20-goal season man, and you don't, but you do need everyone chipping in with 5 or 6 goals across the midfield and up front. And it didn't happen last year. And from what we've seen of this year, I can't see it happening again, really.
You're going to have to try and win a lot of games 1-0, 2-1 at this rate.
Yeah. They are, because they don't look like they've got a lot of goals in them again.
I'm desperately interested to see how they respond to going a goal down this season. Because their record in the past 3 seasons has been so bad. Yeah. 2 seasons in particular, but I can't... The feeling sat there watching them last year, every time they went a goal down, was just so demoralising.
Yeah, I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but it doesn't look like they've got a great deal of goals in them again.
No. Moving on then, a couple of other issues heading into the season. The captaincy hasn't been settled. Ady Williams wrote in Get Reading that he'd have Michael Hector as a captain. Who would you pick and why? That is the question that Raw Hoops puts to us.
Again, it's a tricky one. I think I said last week that McShane looks like his captain material. But is he going to play every week if Ferdinand's fit? If you make him captain, it pretty much guarantees your position, doesn't it? Which it should do anyway. I think maybe Williams. I think maybe Danny Williams in midfield. I think
he'll start
every week. He's got international experience. It gives you all he's got. I think he's perfect captain material.
Do you have any problems with Hector getting it?
No, I think he's too young to be giving it to Hector. There's no need to be putting that extra pressure on, I don't think.
Don't know. I wouldn't hate it. I could understand the logic.
Yeah, it wouldn't bother me particularly, but I think captain should be a player that drives you, and a sort of older player in my mind. And I think Danny Williams in midfield, again, I like midfielders as captains, and I think a player for a week, Danny Williams, as long as he's fit. So
I was going to say that is a bit of a question mark though, the fitness side of things. But
yeah, but then you can't. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I think AD said he would have Williams as vice captain. I would enjoy the two of those in a combination, whichever way around. I think I'd probably go Williams.
But... Yeah, I think Williams is well liked as well amongst the squad, so that helps.
Yeah. Also, just an interesting question as well from Keith. He says, how long do you think Steve Clarke should and will get if we start the season poorly? Now, we were talking at the end of last season, weren't we? And we were saying if this had just been league form without the FA Cup, this guy would be under severe pressure.
Oh, he would have been, yeah, definitely.
But it was interesting. We did we mentioned it 2 weeks ago on the podcast about his approval rate, and fans' approval rate without him even playing a game has shot up to nearly 4 out of 5, so sort of an 80% satisfaction ratio.
Out of nowhere, really.
Out of nowhere. But looking at the cold hard light of day, how long has he got? Can he have a poor 6 months? Can he have a poor season? Has he got less than that? Has it been a bad first 10 games?
Again, it's football for you. If they weren't to win only in the first 10 games, then someone will pull the trigger on him, wouldn't they? It's definitely. I don't think you could last too long looking like you're going to struggle again, because last year I think we struggled for far too long, and there wasn't that bounce really when he came in.
Has he built up any credit for you? Do you think he's is he starting the season in a stronger position than when he first got the job?
Well, I think that the feel-good factor sort of from the FA Cup skated over the league, because we were poor, especially at home. We were dreadful.
Awful.
And the Derby game, again, it gave everyone renewed hope, didn't it? The renewed hope at Derby, the FA Cup run where we should have probably ended up in the final, or we could well have done. He's brought in some of his own men now. So you've got to start looking at the squad saying, well, you've brought 4 or 5 players in now. What are we doing with them? But I think we will start better than we did last year. And I think, you know, don't want to dwell too much on the negative before the start of the season. We can do that during the season.
I think he'll get at the very least, unless it's an absolute calamity like they lose.
Yeah, I mean, he survives on the fact that he's got good credentials and he's got a good CV, and we all know who he is, and we know he's at Chelsea for a long time. So that helps him anyway, straight away. It depends how his players come in and perform for him. If they come in and perform well, I think we'll be okay. I just think we are a steady-looking side, and I think we will have a better season. So if you judge him on last year to this year, I think we'd do better. So does that make you a 5 out of 5? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that rounds up the first half of Pub Chat. We'll just pause for a sting, and then we'll be back giving our predictions, our actual put-on-paper predictions that you can hold us to in May. We'll be back with those right after this.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Right, welcome back to Pub Chat Part 2. Very rare for us to go into extra pints here in the pub. We've both topped up our waters.
So yeah, it's a bit raring, warm today, mate.
Raring to go. I said, apologies, this is going to be a slightly longer show. It's the pre-season one. So if you don't want to hear our predictions and want to be, you know, surprised when we tell you in May if we got it right, maybe skip forward a few
minutes. Which is rare.
Yeah, very rare. But anyway, if you go up onto thetarlhurst.com right now, you will see our predictions post. I very much encourage everybody to go on it. There are 8 questions. Just making sure my maths is right. Yeah, there are 8 questions for you to answer. All you have to do is copy the questions and paste them in the comments section. Whoever gets the closest overall will win a Tarlhurst End related prize.
Ooh.
To be confirmed. Well, there is going to be a prize. I just don't know what it is yet.
No.
After raid the Tarlhurst merch supply.
Look in the cupboard somewhere.
Indeed. And dig something out. But yeah, I very much encourage you to go over there and sign up to the site anyway and start commenting away, because it'd be good to get some different voices. So we very much appreciate anyone who contributes to the website, podcast or anything. But anyway, there's these 8 questions for you to answer, and we're going to go through ours quickly now. Johnny Williams, obviously not here, so I will give you what his predictions are for each of these areas. I'll try and get Charles's thoughts tomorrow. But anyway, starting with the first question, it is, where do you think Reading are going to end the season? I've said 8th. Johnny has said 9th. Westy, what about you?
I think I said 7th last week or the week before last, so I'm going to go 6th.
You're going to playoffs?
Yeah, why not?
Playoff heartbreak or playoff success?
I'll speak about that at Christmas.
now, this is for posterity.
Let's say heartache.
I think that's a fairly safe.
More choice that way. More chance
safe,
of being heartache.
Fairly safe bet when it comes to any football club.
Mm-hmm.
Next one was the top 3 goal scorers. And I said, if you put them in the correct order, you'll get bonus points. I have said that the top goal scorer will be a player not currently at the club, followed by Orlando Sarr, followed by Gareth McCleary. Johnny has gone for Orlando Sarr in top spot, followed by Stephen Quinn, followed by Big Pav. Westy?
Yeah, I've gone Orlando Sarr as well, just because he's the new striker, and we hope that he pans out. Then Paul Grebniak, and then McCleary.
Pog and G-Mac. I just think he's going to sign a nippy striker that might do the business.
Yeah, me too. I also think that maybe one of the centre-backs will score 5 or 6 goals.
Not a bad shout. Speaking of defenders, number of clean sheets. Now, apparently we kept 13 last year.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
As a rough guy. Yeah, I was surprised too. I found that after I made this prediction, but I am a man of my word, so I'm going to stick to it.
Yep.
And I said 14 clean sheets this season. Johnny went one less for 12, which I don't know how he's managed to get us finished in 9th. He obviously thinks we're going to be a Kevin Keegan-esque side.
Again, I can't see that happening, but well, yeah, who knows?
So what number have you gone for?
I've gone big. I've gone 17 clean sheets.
What was it that Nigel Adkins was targeting?
I don't remember.
Was it 25, something like that?
Yeah, that's a bit of a big target.
And 100 goals and something silly?
Didn't happen though, did it?
He put out a great tweet today. I'm paraphrasing, I can't remember what it was, but it was something like, I wake up with the positive air and I'd like to have my team and things settled before I go to bed at 10 o'clock tonight. So rock and roll, Nigel Adkins, Sheffield United. You're a lucky bunch of fans.
So boring.
I think it's great though. I think he's almost deliberately winding up the fans with some of those tweets.
You would have thought so, wouldn't you? But I just think it's him.
Maybe.
Tell you, used car salesman.
Right. Most appearances. I've gone Michael Hector. Johnny's gone Chris Gunter. Westy, you've gone.
Yeah, I've gone Chris Gunter as well. I think, like we said, right back is his position to hold, and he doesn't often get injured, does he?
No. Dirtiest player. Player who's going to pick up the most yellow and red cards. I've said Danny Williams. Johnny said Michael Hector.
I say McShane, but I'm going to change my mind and say Danny Williams as well.
Danny Williams. Okay. Filthy captain.
Yes, you see, he plays a lot Parky in the field.
Style.
Yeah, no, maybe.
There was Parky's. I don't remember Parky's disciplinary record being that terrible. Don't think he got sent off very often.
He got sent off a couple of times, yeah. But I don't think it was dirty. Just like getting involved in the tackles, and
which is good.
Yeah,
everyone loves that. Player of the season. I've said Stephen Quinn. So has Johnny.
Hector.
You've got Michael Hector.
Yeah, they like their own down here.
They do. Most improved player. I've got Anton Ferdinand. Johnny stuck up for Nick Blackman.
Yeah, this Anton Ferdinand prediction. I mean, it's most improved. He's played two matches. He's improved from last year.
Well, I sort of did it on player most improved from your expectations. And I think coming into this season, expectations on Anton Ferdinand were pretty much zero.
Yep.
So I think he's going to be a real asset this season.
Okay, I'm going to say, honestly, it's going to sound a bit strange, but I'm going to say a beater. Just because I thought last year he didn't play quite as well as he did in his debut year.
Yeah, this is obviously a bit of a subjective one, but we'll do a vote at the end of the season for most improved player, and we'll see who wins that. And the same for this one, it's a bit more subjective as well, but rookie of the year. You may have noticed we handed out this award on the website. Jake Cooper won it. It's basically not a newcomer. It's
someone who's been here on the fringes.
Yeah, well, no, it's designed for a player that's young, that hasn't played a lot. So that, you know, you can't just give it to a player because he's young, because Jordan Abit is young, but he's played 100 odd games.
Yeah, Hector's young.
So this is the award for, you've got to be, it's fewer than 5 Reading starts. And I think the rules were under 22.
Mm-hmm.
I've said Fosu. Johnny said Fosu.
It's a clean sweep.
It is a Fosu.
I think the only other one that you could squeeze in there could be the goalkeeper. Bond.
Bond, yeah.
Yeah,
Tish Bowler as well, I think, could have an impact.
Yeah, he might play a few games this year.
We'll see what happens. Didn't mention it in news bites, actually, but should mention Aaron Cole linked with a low move to Spain.
Yeah, I think it'd be perfect Mallorca. Over there, wouldn't it? Absolutely perfect in Spain.
I wouldn't mind a year. What is he 21 years old? Can you imagine being 21 and getting sent to Spain for a year? Brilliant.
Could be dangerous for your career, more than good for it. But no, it suits him over there.
It does. And he's such a down-to-earth bloke. We interviewed him on the website this summer. Seems like a really genuine nice bloke. I've got such high hopes for the guy. And I said, it's a big, you know, for a Spanish club, I mean, they're in the second tier at the moment, but still, to take a player who's played less than 10 championship games, says a lot about him.
Yeah, and again, he's gaining a good reputation in the game, and going to clubs like that can only do your reputation the world of good. And I think in the Spanish league, it'd be excellent.
Yeah. Well, that just rounds up our Pub Chat Part 2. That is our season predictions. You can record this and we'll come back and maybe play out some clips and whatnot come May, see who's closest. But as mentioned, please go over to the website, give us your own predictions, join in, absolutely free, and you might win a bit of merch out of it.
Yeah, you might do. Worth a go.
Indeed. You know, got to be in it to win it. So anyway, head over to there. In the meantime, we will move on to the mailbag.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.
Right, welcome back to the mailbag. Thanks to all of you who've tweeted us into at the Tarlhurst End, especially those of you who use the hashtag TTE podcast. It's the best way for me to pick it up. If I've missed your tweet, it's probably because you haven't used that hashtag, so I do apologise. I've had a couple of emails as well into the tarlhurstend@gmail.com. So plenty of ways to get in touch with us. So Twitter's the easiest, but whatever way you do, thank you very much. We'll start with Will Jones, who works on our stats desk, assistant editor at the site. He asks us, which championship team do you think has made the best summer signings? Now, Will himself has compiled a list of all the transfers made in the championship this summer. Highly recommend you go and read it. Again, it's up on the website right now, fairly near the top of the page. I've picked out a couple of squads here, Westy, who I think have made some great signings. Starting with Derby. Now, Derby have signed Chris Baird, Darren Bent, Scott Carson, Tom Ince, Alex Pearce, Jason Shackle and Andreas Weimann.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is an awesome bit of summer dealings.
Well, it certainly will add to your squad. I mean, Chris Baird, we have been here for a little while, didn't we? Again, steady, Eddie-type footballer. Darren Bent, is he coming towards the end? Still scored goals in the championship. Year. That's what I say. Still, fingers with Darren Bent. He never looks like a good player, but somehow he managed to score a load of goals. Scott Carson, again, good goalkeeper. Tom Ince, I think you've got to say, that's an excellent signing at this level. You know that he's going to put the ball in the net, probably 12 to 15 times during the season, plus his assists. Alex Pearce, I don't think he improved Derby any, but he certainly means that they've got someone sat on the bench who's won the championship, basically. So, and still young enough to improve a little bit more. As for the others, again, good.
Shackle, I thought, was awesome for Burnley two seasons ago when they got promoted.
Yeah.
Another, that is a coup.
As I say, it's another player that knows what he's doing in the championship and it only adds to your squad. I think Derby especially, they look like they've brought in solid players to get them out of this league. And let's face it, they keep blowing it every year and they can't keep doing it, surely.
Yeah, the other team that I picked out was Middlesbrough. Now, they've signed Alex Baptiste, Diego Fabbrini, Stuart Downing, Thomas Callas and Jack Stevens. Downing in particular is a great get. He was only playing for England this time. He played against Scotland, I think, last November. Yeah. So to get him back at a club he knows well, fantastic signing. It's a bit of an A and other. It's a bit of a cheat here because they're very highly linked with Jordan Rhodes. I think if you added Jordan Rhodes to that list, might put it over Derby. But even so, Callas was great. I think he played at the Medeski last season. I thought he looked very good.
Yeah, good.
Fabbrini, done it in the Championship before. Southampton are constantly pumping out great young players. So Stevens will be good. And Baptiste, again, has been and done it in the Championship before. Yeah. So, again, a very impressive looking group.
Yeah, they look good as well. Middlesbrough, another side last year, probably could have gone up, or should have. I thought they was very good. Large parts of the season ended up blowing it. Again, I think Derby and Middlesbrough are the favourites. And with the signings they've made, you can't really argue against it.
Might as well ask this here. I was going to do it in any other business. But I'll ask it here then. Off the top of your head, again, it's such a difficult league to predict. But if you had to put, money on three teams to go up and three teams to go down...
It's always difficult, the Championship, because the teams that come down, I mean, Hull, they've got rid of a lot of players. They've offloaded a lot of their wage bill. But it's not always a bad thing sometimes. Sometimes you need to ship out a few players to sort of come again. Cardiff, I thought they would do well last year and really struggled.
Fulham. You thought they signed McCormack for 11 million.
Yeah, you thought they were there or thereabouts. I think the teams that have come down don't look great, but that doesn't always mean that they won't be. I think, it's a very competitive league. So if I had to sort of say who I thought might go up, I would have gone Middlesbrough. I know they're the favourites, but they do look quite strong.
Yeah, I'd pick those two teams straight away. But like you say, who knows who's going to gel?
You've got no idea, no.
It's such a mug's game. Trying to bet. Gamblerware.
Yeah.
We do have a bookie watch up if you are interested. Not saying you're a mug. But actually, I say it's a mug's game, but there's so much money to be made.
Yeah.
Because if you put, I mean... I think Burnley were about 25-1 to win promotion the year they did.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of teams that obviously we haven't mentioned that could come out of the pack and win it as well. I mean, even Bristol City, I think they were so good
last year. Last season.
They were so good last year and they look very good in the league below. We've seen before that teams coming out of that league sometimes fly up the Championship. So I think they'd be up there or thereabouts. I think you've got teams like Brentford now who started really well last year and they've swapped managers now, so you don't know. They're sort of an unknown quantity in many ways. Again, like I said, Cardiff, they were pretty poor last year as well, but they're a big club, you know. So
could be anyone. Could be Reading.
It could technically be Reading. You know, it could be. Who knows?
Yeah,
that's the great thing about the Championship.
It sounds like a Johnny Williams cop out, but I don't know. As I said, I'd say those two teams, but nothing would surprise me.
No, nothing will surprise you.
Been around this league too long to be surprised. Yeah. Right, moving on to the rest of the mailbag. Matt Williams says, what games are you most looking forward to this season, considering most usual rivals were in the other leagues?
I think Bristol City at home, that'd be a good atmosphere.
Yeah, and away.
They bring plenty down. It's always a bit feisty, that one. Again, there's a lot of Brentford.
Brentford and Fulham away, Brentford and two Fulham. Games.
And I say, we've got a lot of teams that are relatively close to us, so... I think I'm looking forward to the season. I really am.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good season. He also asked, which player who's left Reading this summer will surprise us the most, good or bad? Guthrie, Pearce, the Yak?
No, I don't think there'll be any surprise. I think we know these players.
Are you saying to me that Yakubu, at just 33 years of age, is done?
I think you won't see him. He'll be abroad again, earning a few quid.
Outrage.
Outrage. I don't see him. Playing.
He's coming into his prime.
Is he? Yeah, he's at the top of his game now. What's he, 50? I'm 33, sorry.
Top of his eating game.
Yeah, I think the Yak's best days are well behind him. Guthrie, we know what you get from Guthrie. If he plays, he's half decent if he plays. And Pearce, he's just a steady Championship footballer, and I think he's never going to be anything more than that.
Yeah, for me, the only one that might, I wouldn't say surprise you, it would be Cem Karacan.
Yeah.
But,
it wouldn't be a surprise if he'd done
that's
well.
That's what I mean. It's not. I mean, it's a surprise given his injury problems, but from what he's shown before, it wouldn't terribly surprise me. No, nobody else.
I don't think Stephen Kelly's going to come back to haunt us.
No.
He might come back to haunt you just by scoring against Reading.
I don't think so. Federici as well. I think we know what we're getting from him. I don't think anyone's going to improve greatly. Let's put it that way.
No, I don't think Reading lost anyone particularly great.
No.
Henry Reading emails us in. It's a great name for a Reading fan. It's his actual name.
Is that his real name?
It's his real name. He says, hi guys, great show. Our side is now one of our weakest on paper, but could it be another 2011-12 style team? Your thoughts?
I don't think it's our weakest on paper, is it? Would you say that? Weakest compared to what?
I don't know. You could argue that this side is worse than the team that started last season.
You could, but personally, I don't think it is. I think if you
would you rather have the team that started that season in 2011-12 or this?
It'd be interesting. What we do next week, actually, we look at the team that started the first game of last season.
Yeah.
Unless you want to do it now, and we're
no. We'll save that for next week.
Okay. Yeah. So I reckon that then we can make a judgment from the first team, because I've said this in many a podcast that the team that starts the year very rarely finishes the year. You'll probably see three or four additions.
I think Matthew Monse scored two goals in the first game.
That's
of last
what I'm
season.
Saying. So you'll probably see four different players finish the season in the starting 11. So I think technically we've got a stronger, but in a steady way, rather than a exceptionally brilliant one.
And as that very team shows you, it only takes one player to move a team 5-6 places. That team without Jason Roberts, average, might scrape
very
in the
average,
playoffs.
Yeah.
Team with Jason Roberts, as you saw, champions.
Yeah. The other player to think about is Fosu. If he comes in and starts every week and he gets to speed, because he looks decent, he looks like a good player, and pre-season I think most of the goals that were set up were done by him.
Yeah.
And I think if he can take that league by storm, then again that could move you up 5 even 10 spaces from last year, especially.
Absolutely. Well, good question, Henry. I said that's one for pub chat next week. Moving on, Sam Richards says, in your opinion, why have we not used the links with Chelsea in this transfer window? And Matthew Castle says something very similar. He says, surprised we haven't used Steve Clark's links to loan in some top talents. They always seem to shine every year.
Yeah. Again, I don't know when they have to release their Champions League side and
this is it.
The players that slip out of it right at the end. I think wait on that one.
Yeah, I think a few players have gone out. I don't think Chalobah's gone out yet. I haven't seen him go out.
I don't think he's gone out yet. And it might be another player.
I know the youngster, the striker that was born in Reading, is Solanke.
Yep.
He's just gone to Vitesse Arnhem. So that was one I thought might come to Reading.
Yeah, in general, they tend to send him abroad. But I think it's the... You normally find like your Chalobahs. I think Chalobah's not going to make it at Chelsea. So I think Chelsea will be looking to move him out pretty soon.
Yeah, wait till the loan window reopens, I think, which is the week after the end of the transfer window. Because any player who's not in the 25-man Premier League squad
gets shipped.
Has to move on.
Yeah.
We have to face it, guys. Reading are not the bottom of the food chain, but they are very low down. And they have to wait for other deals to happen. So you see on deadline day, happened last year, didn't it? Glenn Murray was allowed to go because Palace got Kevin Doyle in. A few years ago, Reading might have got Gylfi Sigurdsson if Tottenham had got a signing in. Another thing, so it's basically a pecking order. It's a game of dominoes. If deals happen, suddenly a player's expendable, suddenly Reading can get him in. Yep. But Reading don't have the money to force a deal through.
No, I think they probably will end up with at least one player from Chelsea on loan.
Undoubtedly.
But it won't be yet.
No, we'll wait and see on that one. Moving on, Pervy Wink just says, FFP, discuss! Don't know what you want us to discuss about it. I mean, they're three very nice letters, two F's and a P.
Yeah.
You know, what can I say? And no, financial fair play, Westy.
I still think it's a bit of a farce.
Well, I don't like it because QPR have had this massive fine hanging over them and yet nothing's been done.
Yeah, it seems like a threat that nothing ever's going to happen.
I understand that it's going through legal challenges and whatnot, but they've been able to sign players left, right and centre. Jamie Mackey and stuff.
Yeah, and then even if they get fined, they'll still sign them.
Seems like Forrest and Blackburn are under supposed transfer embargoes as well. They're getting punished, other teams aren't. It's just a bit...
Yeah, it never happens to the really big clubs.
Financial fair play to me, I think you punish teams like Reading under Zingarevich, who spend money they don't have. Personally, I've got no problem if a billionaire comes in, splashes a load of cash, like Tony Fernandez has done at QPR, and says, I'm going to write all this money off. So if I go, you don't owe me the money. That's fine.
Well, that is fine because there's no doesn't come out
exactly.
of the club, does it?
The problem is when a Zingarevich comes into a football club.
Loans the money, yeah.
Exactly, loans the money and borrows the money. Yeah. And then that is when you should be penalised by financial fair play. So I say that, but at the same time, QPR should be punished because those weren't the rules. The rules were in place at the time. They broke them.
Yeah.
You can't then go back Because then what do you say to a Forest and a Reading, who allegedly last season weren't buying players because of these rules? So it's difficult.
Yeah, and when QPR ended up in the Premier League, and let's face it, they've overspent massively.
Yeah.
Because they're sustainable whatsoever. But yeah, I think it's, again, like most things in football, it sounds like a bit of a farce and turns out to be a bit of a farce.
At least they're trying to do something about it.
They're trying, but not trying hard enough.
Yeah, we'll see how that one pans out this season. I said I'm very, very interested to see what happens with QPR. They did modify the rules a lot, fairly significantly last season, to allow more owner investment. So it looks like they realise that they made some mistakes originally. So we'll see. It's very young, and we'll see how that one pans out. Gary Woodward said, we still create too few chances and poor set pieces. Do you think Clark has done enough to address this? I think we sort of touched on that earlier. Still work to be done.
Definitely. I think our ball into the box was poor last year. But again, we didn't have anyone in the box who was any good in the air. So that's changed this year. So hopefully you'll see a difference.
Yeah, and as I said, with players, hopefully like Fernandez, if they do come in, will make that difference. Who would you keep John Nabita on corners this season? I think it was poor last year.
Yeah, it was poor last year. But again, I don't, even if you put in a decent corner, I don't think there was anyone that was good enough in the air to attack the ball and score goals. Maybe that's changed this year, so you might see a difference. Yeah. I hope so. But again, a beater should be practicing.
Beat the first man.
Nah, if he's taking him, he should be practicing every day as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex Everson, when was the last time you genuinely looked forward to going to the Medeski for a league game, except maybe Steve Clark's first match?
95.
19. So basically, you've never looked forward to a game at the Medeski.
No, I used to look forward to going to see Coppell's team every week because you knew it was going to win and they were brilliant.
I like to go and see McDermott's teams at the end of seasons because they used to be smashing teams.
I think McDermott's teams, they never seem to be great, did they? But somehow managed to get results.
The one in his first season, his last 6 months that season, when he had the likes of Sigurdsson, Long, Kebbe firing, and they were putting goal. I remember, is it five? They put four past Preston, six past Peterborough.
Yeah, I think one of the best games, I think, was Leicester. When we
3-1, was that my Kebby?
We just played counter-attacking football and we picked them off every single time. I think Kebby was brilliant that day. Yeah, again, when Kebby was firing, it's been good going to watch him. But not for a couple of seasons, I must admit. It's been pretty poor at home for the last two, three seasons coming up.
Yeah, the Premier League season didn't. I suppose the second half of that Championship winning season was good. I remember really being pumped for that Forest game where we get promoted.
No, that was good. But again, since then, it's really tailed off. So we're due a half decent. Just some decent home performances have been nice.
Well, absolutely. What was it? How many games did we score? Something like 3 goals in 11 home games to end the season last year?
Yeah, it's not good enough of us.
No, not worth the time or money. But I've signed up again.
Yeah, me too. But one game from last year that was good at home was the Bradford FA Cup.
Oh, fantastic. Final.
That was good. But other than that, though.
Even had people running on the pitch to music.
Yeah, that was one of the highlights.
Pudding. And finally, we have to end this with this man. The man, the myth, the legend, Johnny Williams. Predict who will be the first victim of a trademark Johnny rant.
First victim, Hal Robson-Carney.
I think that's just an own goal. It's an open goal even.
I think we know that one already. I don't think you have to look too far to find it. It's going to be Hal Robson-Carney.
Yeah. I should have said predict. Just to say, Hal Robson.
There's no one else at the moment that you could say you don't particularly like.
I could see Orlando Saar turning into a boot boy.
Yeah, it could.
Because he's had some issues, hasn't he, at clubs, and he's fallen out and things. And I could see him come into the Championship, things not going his way, and then him kicking up a bit of a stink.
Maybe. Hopefully he won't. But other than that, because that's still sort of in the pipeline, maybe, I think the only one is going to be Hal Robson-Carney, or the manager.
Or Anton Ferdinand breaks down into the game.
Or Anton Ferdinand.
Yeah. I'll say Robson-Carney because it's easy.
Yeah, I'm going to say Robson-Carney.
Yeah. Johnny, if you know the answer, please let us know. Anyway, that wraps up the mailbag for this week. I said thank you very much to those of you. You can tweet us in at the Tarlest End using TTE Podcast for your hashtag. Get us at tarlestend.com, obviously for the website. You can go to facebook.com/thetarlestend and, as mentioned, thetarlestend@gmail.com for your electronic mail. That wraps up the mailbag. Time to look ahead to that titanic clash at St Andrews and round up the rest of this week's show in Any Other Business.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Any Other Business.
Welcome back to Any Other Business. As mentioned, Reading head to St Andrews. They will play Birmingham on the first day of the season. Let's hope it goes better than the game last season. 6-1.
Thumped
just in case
year,
you've forgotten.
Absolutely thumped there last year.
Damari Gray hat-trick.
Yep. I think it was the beginning of the end, wasn't it?
Yes.
Or just the end.
pretty much the end. Yeah. It was the end of Mr. Adkins, understandably so. Just awful. I remember the funny thing about that game was we actually started not too bad. I think Murray missed a chance or two.
Yeah, we did start pretty well. And then after that, like you said, we went a couple of goals down and that was the end of it.
They had an indifferent season last year. They finished around mid-table. Just looking at their transfer business so far, they've signed Alex Jones from West Brom, Kifton Beld from Groningen, Thomas Kuschak, Adam Legzins, Jacques Magoma, and John Torrell. I've probably pronounced those all wrong.
They all sound like local lads. That's one good thing.
Yeah. they're all from British clubs except for Kifton Beld.
Yeah, again, don't know an awful lot about any of those, and they don't look like world beaters, do they?
The important thing for them is they kept hold of Damari Gray, who, if you remember, there was quite a few bids going in.
I think last year they was pretty good at home, weren't they, back end of the season, once they swapped managers.
Gary Rowett, yeah.
So, yeah, I think if we went there and got a point early doors, I think you'd have to be happy with that.
Beat us twice, they beat us at home as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, anything the point off on being
a improvement. And they've got Clayton Donaldson, who scored, I believe he scored the winner that night at the Badeski, who Reading were linked with.
Yeah, tried to sign him, big, strong player. They're going to have to stop him, that's for certain.
Yeah. How do you see this going? Obviously, we mentioned their injury doubts to McCleary and Pogge. Can you see Reading going and nicking something?
Yeah. Again, I'd be happy with a point first game of the season. It'd be nice to get someone on the board. Like I say, Birmingham beat us twice last year and convincingly as well. So, any point there would be good. I think Reading are capable. Birmingham, I don't think they're going to be sort of competing for the top six places. So, they're the sort of teams you've got to get points off away from it.
Yeah, I think you'd go there and target a point. If they got a point like they did at Wigan, first game of the season last year, I think you'd be very happy.
I think it would be.
Prediction League, then. It's back.
Oh.
Defending champion.
Did so well last year.
Yeah. I'm looking to retain my title, although Charles Watts threw down the gauntlet on the podcast section last week.
Oh, did he?
He said he was going to win it. Typical Arsenal bravado.
Yeah, that's it. They always say that every year.
Yeah, say it every year. Anyway, Johnny has sent in his prediction, as he can't be here. He has gone for negative Johnny. He's gone 2-1 to Birmingham.
Oh, great. Good start, Johnny. Nice.
Westy, I'll let you go for me.
I'm going to go 1-0.
You're going to say 1-0. Yeah, I fancy that as well.
No, well, I done last year, so I'll avoid that one if I should.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm going to go for a 0-0.
0-0.
0-0. And we will get the thoughts of Mr. Charles Watts on the podcast extra, which we should be recording tomorrow. But yeah, that just about wraps up the show. Just very quickly, I'd like to encourage you all to subscribe on iTunes. It's the quickest way for you to get this show and the podcast extra straight to your device.
Straight up.
Yep, won't miss a thing. Please do check out thetalisman.com. I've plugged it enough during the show, but there are some fantastic articles up there. It's not just me saying it. Will did a fantastic tactical piece. If you want some really in-depth analysis on how Clark's been playing pre-season, really encourage you to check that one out. I said his list of championship transfers is great. We've spoken to fans from every club in the Football League, with the exception of Cardiff and Charlton, as I say this. I've had to put out the next instalment because I'm still waiting on them.
Oh, really?
The seas are letting me down. But as I record this, you can check out A to B and F to MK.
Oh.
You want to hear about the MK Dons?
Good.
So yeah, head up that and we'll obviously have the rest of those up. Plenty of preview material, loads and loads of stuff going on. So very, very much encourage you to head over and check it out. That said, wraps us up. I'll be back tomorrow with Charles on the podcast extra. As for me, Westy and Johnny, probably targeting, I'm just throwing this on you now, Westy, probably targeting Monday night.
Yep, shouldn't be a problem as far as I'm aware.
There you go. This is what we do. This is the unprofessional joke of a podcast. Arranging on it. Yeah, we're looking at Monday night. Obviously, Tuesday, Reading will go to Colchester in the League Cup. So that sort of rules out Tuesday night. So we'll look to get it out on Monday for you. So stay tuned for that one. In the meantime, thank you very much for downloading. And nothing left to say, but come on, you arse. It's funny how the crowds always leave a trail.